John Rowan, Brian Rudman, Michelle Hewitson, Dieter Deboni, Jock Anderson, John Drennan, Paul Casserly. They've all been or are being consulted about proposed plans to facilitate the creation of NZME's world-class integrated newsroom. And we're talking about the New Zealand Herald, of course. NBR, the National Business Review, has been told 30% of the editorial staff are getting marching orders. We're going to talk to Dieter Deboni, because this seems like a lot of well-known people all at once, but the idea is one newsroom to supply stories across media, always attempting synergy. Does it work, do you think?
Oh, golly, all these words, yes, synergy. You're platform agnostic these days, which basically means you have to be prepared to work digital, print, TV, radio. Look, I get the concept, and it is where media is going, this idea of a world-class integrated platform newsroom, but I don't get how you have a world-class integrated newsroom by getting rid of some of your world-class journalists.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
You do need more than five people to actually cover a sort of a national, effectively what the Herald is or what their newsroom will be as a national newsroom. You do need more than five or six people to do that. And but this is the typical response of media owners around the world, isn't it? Remove the point of difference from your publication, get rid of the quality journalism. Then they sit back and wonder why people don't want the product anymore.
Well, I tell you what they're doing, and I know this from my own experience, that I'll write stuff and send it in as op-eds and you get it published because you're not being paid anything, or you don't get it published. But so there's plenty of opinion out there from people like me with rabidly ill-informed opinions. What's in crisis, I think, is paid opinion.
Are you sure you said that?
So, you know, they're having the paid journalists. The wonderful journalist in Britain, Nick Cohen, wrote about this, and he said he'd been asked to write something and they weren't going to pay him for it. And he said, well, you are going to pay me, because the way that this is going to go is that it'll only be rich kids, daddy giving somebody their 21st birthday present will be a column in the Times, because they'll be the only ones who can afford to write opinion for nothing. So, you know, paying for it and paying journalists to be stable journalists who can have a salary to churn this stuff out, research it properly, you know, that's actually, the changing platform doesn't change the need for that.
Let's talk to Dieter Deboni, who recently, and talked with us about it, lost her job as a prominent Herald columnist. Dieter, good afternoon.
Hello, Jim.
Now, out of interest, when you mentioned this to us on the panel, I had forgotten. Oh, I hadn't really. But we once used to introduce you a year or two back as one of the Herald's most successful columnists in terms of eyeballs and readership. And I would have assumed that you and some of these others would have been appointment reading. These are prominent writers, actually, some of these people whose names I just read out, yes?
Yes. I mean, I think your panellists have hit the nail on the head. It's no real surprise. It is these integrated platforms and everything. And of course, if they're paying Mike Hosking or whoever $1 million, they want to squeeze as much out of him as they can. And goodness knows we need more opinion from Hosking, because he just simply doesn't have enough platforms to, you know, expound it upon. But the other thing I think that is happening is that there's a lot of management interference in the newsrooms. And this is across mainstream media. It's driven first by marketing people, and you know, all this talk of integrating platforms and all that is marketing gobbledygook. And so that meddling is happening, but also I think it's a chance for people to play out some personal vendettas, really, because when I look back on the list of people that they're talking about currently putting out of work, Dixon, Hewitson, Perrott, Bromhead, Rudman, all of a particular political persuasion. And some of those people were on the picket line with me at the Herald in 2002.
I think there is a
genuine, I mean, taking it out of the personal stuff, there's a genuine debate about where the media is heading. And what concerns me is that we can't let New Zealand media sector collapse into a sort of rubble of blogs and Facebook posts, right? So the issue is how, I get it that we need different platforms and that we're integrating those platforms and that you need to be across a whole bunch of different platforms these days. But I mean, I agree, Dieter. It's not, You can't get rid of the people who create that content. You know, the demand for content is still going to be there, right?
Can I put something to you? I mean, in getting rid of Dieter, in getting rid of Brian Rudman or John Rowan, if that's what the outcome will be, it doesn't mean the paper stops speaking truth to power, But does it mean that you lose the deep knowledge gained over decades, which is a very useful repository of wisdom?
Well, certainly that happens. But I think that the reality is, unfortunately, that sometimes opinion columns are more well-read than quality journalism in a mainstream platform. They're more sexy, shorter, you know, easier to digest kind of thing. And I do think there is a segment of the audience that's moving towards that. It is no replacement, of course, for quality journalism, but it's an argument for quality columnists.
But it can't just be a fondness for outrageous opinion, because some of these columnists had opinions galore.
Well, that's what they're paid to do, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, but I mean, I think what is sad too is that the loss of opinions that aren't sensational, but are more nuanced, like Nick Cohen, like your panellist was talking about before. I mean, those kind of people, where are they in New Zealand mainstream?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the thing is this sells too. Diversity, varied opinions, whether it's Mike Hosking or whether it's Nick Cohen or whoever, you know, it's the variety and the diversity that we need to somehow work out how we're going to grow that more. Now, then the platforms is a separate issue. But I just think, you know, I can't see how getting rid of these journalists, when I think of people like John Drennan, yourself, Dieter, John Rowan, you know, across the political spectrum, all strong writers and strong opinions. It doesn't make any sense to get rid of Brian Rudman and these people. I don't understand it.
Yeah. But I do think there is a political element at play, and I know not everyone agrees with that. But when I look at it, and I've worked, you know, at TVNZ, I've worked in TV3, and I've married to someone who worked for TV3, and I've, you know, so I know these mainstream, you know, organisations. There is a political element to it. Sometimes it's a small P politics, you know, within the organisation. But I do think, you know, what's happened is unions have broken down, journalists have lost their power, marketing divisions have started to come into newsrooms and meddle far too much. And so there's a whole lot of power plays at work, and marketing people are dictating the course.
All right. Dieter, thank you. And thank you for coming on with us today as well.